Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, along with co-hosts Art Malin and Desmond Bennett, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Bob Schuster down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we've got a couple interesting interviews with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen, and also with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Dave D'Orazio. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Save green during the Can-Am Yellow Tag Event at Hayward Power Sports. Depending on the model, claim up to $2,000 rebate or financing as low as 2.9%. Get a Can-Am Defender HD8 side-by-side with seating for three, selectable two- and four-wheel drive, a dump box, and a four-stroke V-twin 800cc engine for as little as $199 a month. Can-Am, the ride says it all. Test ride one today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Certain restrictions apply. Subject to credit approval, see your dealer for details. Online at haywardpowersports.com.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brats, sausages, and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky for fall hunters and anglers, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and Sundays 10 to 3. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and as we're recording this, going to fall muskie tournament going on. We're down here talking to Bob. We got myself in here, Art Malin, co-host, and Desmond Bennett, and we got Tim Duffy standing off here in the back someplace. We got a whole mob in here, and Bob, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Art. Good morning, Desmond.
Good morning.
And what are you hearing on the fishing out here, Bob, talking to us? We'll jump right into that.
Well, I've been talking to some of the area guides, and it sounds like the muskies started snapping. The water temp dropped, and they've been putting a feed bag on.
So 50 anglers who were fly fishing with Treelands at their fly fishing tournament, 50 anglers, this is about 2 weeks ago, caught 50 muskies.
That's a pretty good percentage, isn't it?
No kidding.
not as good as the youth muskie hunt on Moose, Art.
Well, yeah, but
that was 72 fish with about 45 or 50 kids.
Yeah, but these were not fishing with live bait.
So it's off to a good start anyways, and Mike and the guys have done a really good job once again to kick off this year's event.
How about other fishing out there? What are you hearing on the walleye fishing, the crappie fishing?
We got some people that are catching a few walleye. The pan fishing has been pretty good. I haven't heard much on bass or northern, but this time of year, as you well know, John, the water temp drops and the fishing gets better.
You bet. Usually it does. I mean, it's a given every fall the fishing gets better. And I know, except Desmond says she learned this last week that Canadian fishing isn't as always easy as some people make it.
It sure isn't. You know, you go out there by yourself in the boat and you don't have some big hotshot guide running you around. And, you know, some of it's just a rough weekend. I was up on Lake of the Woods. We had 35 mile an hour wind gusts, freezing temperatures, snow flurries. You know, in an 18-foot aluminum boat, you can only fight those conditions so hard.
Yeah, I bet. That's tough fishing, and wind is always a big factor. And the bigger the lake, the bigger the problem can be. But you enjoyed the trip and you had fun. That's the biggest thing, right?
I did. I had a blast. And, you know, we didn't raise any muskie. We only saw what might have been one of any size, but had a good time and still learned a ton. You know, fishing the Canadian Shield's a lot different than fishing down here, too. So
absolutely.
Just when you think you start to figure it out.
Yeah. So, you know, muskies are muskies. No matter where you're at, they could be difficult to catch.
Yeah, that's true. But on those lakes that you're talking about, they're damn dangerous. You really have to know what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, you got to follow the charts and watch your GPS really close. And that's where this new GPS mapping and stuff from like Humminbird and Lake Master comes in really good.
Absolutely, John.
You know, Bob, you know, as far as you heard much on any other fishing here, we talked about the walleyes and the crappies, anything else?
Some guys heading up to the Brule and have been doing okay on the steelhead. I haven't heard much from Lake Superior as of late, and I actually for the last month I've been out of town more than I've been
right
in town.
At shows
buying
and stuff,
shows, yeah. But it sounds like deer hunting's kicking off. some animals being harvested, and I really didn't get a true reading on bear hunting, but I think it was, for the most part, okay.
Yeah, the hunting, you know, you guys are all set up in the shop here for just about anything anybody needs, right?
Pretty much. And if we don't have it, we'll order it for you.
Get it for them.
That's pretty neat. How about that young girl? I think that she was 13 that shot a 600 or 700-pound bear.
That's the one that I had heard about, yeah.
Okay, man, good. Is that something.
Yeah.
What a thrill.
So when you're 13 and you kill a 600 or 700-pound bear, you have to go to a new species.
Yeah, where do you go from? It's like going out the first trip and catching a 51-inch muskie. Where do you go from there?
Looking for a big walleye.
Yeah, you bet. Well, Bob, I want to thank you for coming on here and sharing the information with us this morning.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Art. And thank you, Desmond.
You know, it's going to be interesting. I get more in the end of the show talking to Desmond about some stuff, too. But, you know, right now we need to take a break and hear from some of our fine sponsors. And we come back, we've got an interesting interview we're going to play here talking with Steve Jensen, talking about fall muskies. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hunters and anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area. Stop in and check out the huge selection of fall muskie, bass, walleye, and panfish tackle. They also carry archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, scents, tree stands, and much more. Gear up for the fall at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And while you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Store your boat where it'll be safe and secure at Hayward Power Sports. We're the area's largest marine and power sports storage facility. Call now to reserve your space and bring it in when you're done for the season. Your boat will be prepped by our certified techs who properly winterize today's high-tech motors. We offer shrink wrapping and indoor storage plus a 20% discount on any repairs done when you store your boat with us. State licensed and bonded, Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402. Or Art Malin at 715-865-2336, or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com, and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-hosting today is Art Malin and Desmond Bennett. And, you know, fall, we talked about fall at the beginning here, but fall locations keep changing. Things change in the fall, Art.
It doesn't matter whether you're talking about animals or fish.
You bet, you know, and you're right. Animals change, everything changes.
That's right, and all you have to do is go out and hunt or fish, and you'll find out.
Or do some scouting and looking.
That's big.
Yeah, well, let's hear what Mr. Steve Jensen, who is a Hayward Area Fishing Guide here, talks about some of that fall stuff, and we come back, we'll have more on your outdoors. Well, Steve, I know this is one of your favorite times of the year. You get a chance to do a lot of different things out there in the fall. I know you like to hunt a lot, bow hunting, and start off with the bow hunting. You get out there quite aggressively after that.
Oh, you betcha. Bow hunting's been a passion of mine since I was 12 years old and could pull a bow back. And I've been fortunate enough to take a lot of nice bucks up here in our area. It's a great challenge going out and chasing them with some archery gear.
You know, as far as guys getting out, start out, let's give the guys some tips, maybe getting out. You know, you're good at trophy muskies, you're good at going out some nice bucks. You want to go after a big buck, you know, what could you give them some tips?
Well, really, it's about being persistent and getting your feet on the ground and actually locating a big buck. You can't kill what isn't there, John, and a lot of guys make the mistake of hunting in their favorite stand, regardless of if there's a big deer around or not. Now in the age of trail cameras, we're able to monitor what's on our property, and I also get out and I do a lot of grouse hunting, and when I grouse hunt, I'm actually using my eyes and my ears, and I'm looking, and I'm definitely looking for scrapes and rubs, and I'm looking for sign for a big deer, because it can pop up anywhere. And you know, when you can find rubs on very large trees and see that action where they're really tearing stuff up, then I'll move right in and I'll get in there and get aggressive with them.
Well, once you find a spot, you want to kind of look for where they're traveling to. They get from feeding areas to bedding areas and that stuff. I've heard a lot being talked about over the years. Scent is a big factor and sound, but I don't know. What's a bigger factor to you, the scent factor or just flat not moving out there?
You know, honestly, it's a great question, and every other year I'd probably give you a different answer. Some years I do have a lot of luck with scent. Some years I do have a lot of luck with calling. I use them both. And really, each deer can be different. You know, one buck coming down the trail will respond awesome to a grunt call. The next buck wants to hear the, you know, those little snort wheezes and those little fawn bleats. And I do use a lot of calling. I'll occasionally do some rattling, but rattling doesn't seem to work up here as well as it does in some other areas. But I do try it, you know, especially when you get in that peak of the rut just before those bucks are starting to breed the does.
How about your own personal scent? If that deer get a wind to you, I've heard that's real important.
Absolutely. And then,
but yeah. The fact that if you just don't want to move around a lot out there, because
yeah,
you move, they'll get it.
And that's one thing you got to definitely be very, very stringent about, especially with bow hunting, is scent control. I wash my clothes every hunt or every other hunt. I shower before every hunt with non-scent soap. I spray down with scent-killing formulas. In my opinion, it is very, very important to be scent-free, because those bucks have an amazing ability to pick you out. And the other thing, like you say, is you don't want to overwalk or over, you know, tromp around your areas. You don't want to be moving stands around once you get into your peak times. All my stands are set up, you know, prior to, you know, the season. I get those set in the spots that I know are going to be good. And then I have a couple that I, you know, kind of use as swing stands. So when I see that sign pop up in a spot, I can have a stand that I can quickly move in and get it set up.
Even moving while you're in the stand, I found is critical, because they can pick out the slightest movement. It seems like they look up in trees all the time.
And that is, it's funny that you say that too, because the deer really have evolved to realize that us hunters are up in the trees. And if you watch a mature buck walk through the woods, he will be scanning up in the canopy quite often. Moving around in the stand is going to get you busted many, many, many times. And honestly, being able to sit for long periods of time without moving much and being scent free is really the key to being a successful whitetail hunter.
How about once we get to the gun season? Usually the rut's over with. You see much change in patterns and stuff then?
Oh, absolutely. And what happens some years is we'll have the tail end of the rut still coincide with the beginning of our gun season. And we have years like that. You'll have big bucks locked up with does. Can be a great time to actually get a shot one of those monsters. But a lot of years the rut is really kind of coming down or winding down. And some of these deer will lock down in certain areas, and they won't move much at all during daylight periods. And a lot of times when that happens, we'll go to the drive, push them mode. And what we do is we have a lot of public land up here, John, tremendous amount of places to go hunting. And we have a group of about 10 guys that we get together, and we'll actually go and we'll push small clear cuts, small thickets, small swamps. We'll surround them and then slowly push through those. And we've been able to take a couple whopper deer by doing that tactic when nobody was seeing anything moving around their stands.
Any last tips you might give them on deer hunting?
Basically, you know, make sure that you're in good areas. Deer sign is important to find. Obviously, there isn't deer everywhere. There's a lot of space in between. So you want to spend some time looking for quality spots. And once you find those spots, spend a lot of time there.
Steve, I know that besides that, you like to spend some time out there until you absolutely can't anymore musky fishing, because some of the best big fishing is yet to come, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And I kind of have a love-hate relationship with the end of musky season. As you know, John, we've been out there all season long plying the waters. And obviously, it's not an easy sport. It's very physical. And by the end of the season, you're getting worn down. You're getting tired. And then you get the cold weather, the rain, the snow, and all those things add up. But the reality is, we do catch some of our very biggest fish this time of year. So that keeps you driven, keeps you on the water, and keeps you going right to the end.
I know typically we're fishing for one or two bites a day when we get late. Any tips as far as location a guy should be looking at?
Oh, absolutely, John. And, you know, the one thing that I've found is I've really refined my late fall tactics, and it's a much different deal than it is during the summer. In fact, I fish quite a bit differently. The first thing I would say as a recommendation is moving deeper. A lot of guys have a tendency to want to stay shallow too long, and they don't have the ability or the confidence to move out in that deeper water and start working some deeper structure. And the other thing that I do this time of year, John, is I really slow down. I slow my boat speed. I slow how many spots we fish. I'll pick maybe half a dozen spots through the course of the day, and I'll maybe work them two or three times each instead of running around and trying to hit 50 spots in a day. And by doing that, I give myself and my clients more odds at picking off those fish that are on those spots because our windows of opportunity are a lot shorter this time of year.
It seems like to me, too, is that steeper dropping shorelines or steeper dropping bars are fairly good drop-offs and looking for inside turns on there. And even yet, this time of the year, I'll start looking for bait fish, too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you find that classic steep dropping point that has some bait, another thing you mentioned was the inside corners. Those are really important in late fall, and I think a lot of guys overlook that. They want to fish the point and the tip of the point. The reality is a lot of those bigger fish do come on inside corners. The other thing I look for is more rocky structure, hard bottom areas, places that you're typically not really fishing in the summertime. I'm definitely getting away from the weeds, and I'm now working a lot harder bottom structures.
And, you know, any last tips here as far as the time of day or anything? I know I prefer the middle of the day.
Yeah, and it can be any minute of the day during the late fall period, from early morning all the way till dark. You know, a lot of times it's just a matter of being persistent and being out there all day. Midday is usually a prime opportunity, the warmest portion of the day, but a lot of times it can also be right at dark or just before dark when you get that final flurry of the day.
Well, Steve, well, thanks for taking time to talk to our listeners here. If somebody wants to get a hold of you for guide service?
They can get a hold of me at fishhunts.com is my website, and of course I'm on the staff down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle Shop, and my cell phone is 715-558-3709 if anybody would like to get out on the water.
And let's hope we both get a chance to get out and do some musky fishing and get that big buck.
Yeah, you betcha. Good luck to you this fall, and have a great time out there enjoying the outdoors.
Well, you're interesting to listen to Steve talking about deer hunting and bow hunting out there, or when it comes to bow hunting and even musky fishing. So let's take another break and hear from more of our fine sponsors. When we come back, I've got more on your outdoors.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. Quick Check in Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle. 715-634-9753.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin and Desmond Bennett. And, you know, there's a whole lot of things. We talk about late fall fishing. First of all, I want to run a little short interview with a longtime Hayward area guide who's retired now, Dave D'Orazio, talking about fall muskies. He caught some big muskies in the fall.
Well, he's been on that lake all of his life.
Well, he fished a lot of other lakes, too. He caught them on Robin Lake and other lakes.
I'll bet 90% of his fishing has been on the flowage.
Yeah. Well, let's hear what Dave had to say about fall muskies and late fall muskies, and we come back, we'll have a wrap-up on the show.
Well, Dave, you know, when it gets late in the fall, late October, and even in November, a lot of guys have kind of quit fishing for muskies and have taken up either just watching ball games or even hunting. But, you know, that's what, you know, you and I don't hit it like we used to out there. We're getting older, but that's one of the best times to go out there and get one of the really big super tanker fish, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. That's when the fish are biggest for the year. Those females are really bulking up. And, you know, it's not easy. You're fighting the weather. You're fighting for a small percentage of the fish, and it's work, but it can be done.
I know Tony Rizzo once said the best bite is usually between 10 o'clock in the morning and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I pretty much agree with that, although I've got a 40-pound fish at late, just before dark even.
Yeah, I think the middle of the day when your water is warmest, that really helps. You know, especially when once the water gets really, really cold down as underneath 40 degrees, it really helps to have a warming trend.
You know, at that time of the year, I think you want to target your big fish lakes. And we used to, years ago, I mean, we'd go out there clear into almost the time the lake froze up, and we went after lakes like Le Coudre and Grindstone, some of the big lakes around the lake. But nowadays, you've got some pretty good fish that are going to be available and probably a little shallower in some of the small lakes late in the season like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's some good fish in some of these small lakes. Don't let the size of the lake scare you off. There's not going to be as many 50-inch fish in a 400-acre lake as there will be in the Chippewa Flowage or Lake Coudre, but there's still some big fish in these small lakes.
What do you look for when it gets to be late in the season like that as far as a fish location?
Well, that time of year, usually your weeds are dying, so you're looking for the next break where it drops off. If there's some cover down there, wood or rock, that's what's there. And if there's bait fish around there, that just adds to it.
You know, and a lot of guys think deep, you know, and they're granted, I think there's muskies that I've caught them out of 50 feet of water, but that creates a whole other problem because then you get where their bladder won't release the air and stuff, and I've seen that problem with them. But you can usually find good active fish in that 20 to 30-foot range usually, even right up till freeze-up.
Sure, and if there's still some green weed, you'll find them even a little shallower than that. They're there, and like you say, you find them in 20 feet, they'll come up for a bait, you know.
You know, most of the time when we were out there doing that years ago, we were fishing with live bait, and we fish with some pretty big suckers, and that's still a good option. But another option now, because it's available, probably is going to be trolling, you think?
I think so. I think that trolling is going to turn out to produce some big fish, and it's something that you have to take your time and learn how to do. It's not just throwing a bait behind the boat and driving around. There's a little more to it than that.
Yeah, there is, and there's a lot of different baits and stuff available for today that we didn't have just a few years ago.
Boy, that's the truth. And, you know, just using the planer boards and everything else to spread your baits, that's a big deal. But yeah, I think you're going to see some big fish show up that were trolled up instead of live bait.
You know, Chippewa Flowage now, there's guys that have been catching big fish around those river channel areas, and I think they keep going at it. We're going to see probably a really good fish come out of there too.
Oh, I think we are. I agree with that, John. It's getting to be that time of year, and like I say, those fish are putting on weight, and they're hanging around those river channels. A big bait comes trolled by them. They got to eat.
You know, I probably might go out there and do a little myself for the late fall trolling. I don't know about the guiding part of it that time of year. I just can't see myself carrying a 2x4 to break the ice at the landing anymore like we used to.
Yeah, I can't remember how many times I took out the boat lights backing in on ice that was a little thicker than I thought it was.
Yeah, you know, but we caught big fish, Dave. We caught big fish when there were not as many big fish out there, I think.
Yeah, it comes down to, you know, we put in a lot of hours, and there was just a lot of time spent fishing for these big fish.
You bet, you know. Well, it's been an interesting thing seeing the muskie fishing. It's really changed a lot now, and, you know, there's guys have got way more advantage out there right now to get a big fish than ever before, not just in the amount of waters across the country, not just locally here in northern Wisconsin, but other places. But with the equipment and the techniques and everything else they've got, it's just, if you want to spend the time out there late fall, you got a really good chance of scoring with that fish of a lifetime.
That's right. With the equipment they've got now and the electronics they've got now, they're several steps ahead of where we started.
Well, it was interesting, and I know a couple of things. So we were talking about you and up to Canada up there. You were with a couple other ladies up there?
Yeah, my one friend Katie, she wasn't able to make it, but I was with Alyssa Lloyd. She's a videographer and content producer for Sunset Country. She's a passionate muskie angler who has also turned that into a career. And it's pretty cool to see how she's been able to make those things intersect. So she writes a lot of articles on muskie fishing. She was out filming with Pete Mena all summer, gathering video for this series that they'll be doing. And unfortunately for her, it was only the fourth time she'd gotten to take her own boat out that year. But I got to give that young woman props. You know, handling the 3-foot waves on big water on Lake of the Woods, she really knew what she was doing. So
Different kind of waves, too. They're farther apart out there.
They certainly are. It was. I don't scare easily, but my blood was certainly pumping from that.
I don't know if you got any wet feet over the bow when you were up in the front.
Yes, we did. Wet feet, wet sides, wet everything.
Yeah, but you were fishing in an aluminum boat.
Yes, she's got an aluminum Ranger, so.
Yeah. And anyway, I know you got a couple things here, Art, you want to talk about real quick?
Yeah, for those bird nuts that listen to the show, and I know there's a lot of them, the state is thinking about adding 4 more species of birds to our total number, which I think is around 242. There's the eared grebe, the yellow-crowned night heron, the American three-toed woodpecker, and barn owls. These are going to be added as part of our total species count. I think we're around 240 to 42. Wow. That's a lot of animals. That's a lot of birds.
That's a lot of different kinds of birds.
That's right. And right now, everything's going on. They're traveling south and way south.
You bet. I know, Desmond, you got a couple of things you were going to talk about, I think, didn't you, about things coming up and stuff?
Yeah, we got the Ladies Muskie School coming up. I've talked about this on the show before. This is hosted by Deerfoot Lodge and Resort out on the Chippewa Flowage, and you might recognize the names Amanda Wilson and Kristen Elmer. Those are the past 2 years winners of the annual muskie hunt on the Chippewa Flowage. Those ladies won that tournament 2 years in a row, and they take all that knowledge, bring other people in. They've got some really great speakers that are pretty well known on social media, some other women that really know their stuff about the muskie. So it's $60. You can find all the details on the event either by reaching out to Deerfoot on Facebook or giving them a call. And that'll be October 19th to the 21st. And I'll tell you, I went last year, and it's worth the time for the knowledge you get. And the muskie swag bag last year was really, really a great value, too.
Yeah, you know, another thing I found out the other day is coming up is over at St. Croix Fishing Rods, they're having an ice fishing thing, and it's kind of like a mini sports show. There's going to be, Daiwa's going to have representatives there, and there's going to be some other companies there, a bunch of stuff going on. That'll be on November 10th this year, Saturday. I'm going to head over there. I know Jim Linder will be there, and Tony Roach and some of the Minnesota boys doing seminars and stuff, try to get some interviews for a radio show. I don't know. Maybe you want to ride along, Desmond, or Art, one of them. We'll see what's going on.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
You bet. Yeah, no, let's talk about the fall again, a little bit more about the fall. This is the time that you get the best chance of getting that biggest muskie out there, Art.
Like Louis Bray did.
I don't know if he caught it, what time of the year he caught it or what.
Well,
but,
that was fall. Yeah, it was fall.
Well, anyway, the late fall, we get opportunity. Those fish are the heaviest they're going to be. I mean, I'm seeing the fish right now, even they're showing up real heavy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm seeing, not personally, but I am seeing some great fish out there on social media. Following up my trip to Lake of the Woods last week, they caught a 56 and some change inch muskie on 8-pound test with a walleye rig.
Whoa, man, that was a fight.
That's kind of hard to take.
Yeah. You know, and it won't be long here. We'll have to start talking about winterizing your gear and your equipment, your boats and stuff, because we only got a month or so left of the season here, maybe as we air this. And then we're talking about ice fishing gear, and I'm not going to get into that yet, but we got to get all that gear too ready. I know that's one of your things you love to do.
Oh, I love to ice fish. It'll be a challenge balancing it all with my real job this winter, but I certainly hope to get out there on the hard water.
I know you'll be out there.
The last couple of years, it's taken quite a while to get that water hard enough to be safe.
Well, you know, it's around about the first of the year. By the time you get the first of the year, it's
no,
pretty good.
Last year wasn't.
But depending on what lake you're on, Art. The smaller lakes.
I'm talking about the big lakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on a smaller lake, and I walked out December 7th last year. I was on 4 inches of ice, you know, not too far out, but a spot that I can catch fish normally. So it all depends. We'll see. We had a 4-month ice season last year. That'll be hard to top.
Anyway, we're about out of time here. I want to remind folks out there that if you miss a show, I put that show up a few days after it airs. I put it up on our website at wnoradio.net. From there, from the website, you can link through to our podcast site. Usually the radio show goes up there first, and eventually I'll put it up on our YouTube. YouTube got a bunch of neat videos, and we're going to be adding to that as we go. But anyway, we're out of time for today.
If you have have some friends that don't fish, you might want to invite them this winter. You might be surprised what could happen.
Yeah, and Desmond, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And we'll be back again next week with another interesting show.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.